Welcome to the Shaw's Law Podcast. I am your host, Robert Shaw. Today we have Zach Noble here to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it wouldn't be Zach and I trying to link on a pod if there were not technical difficulties.
It's only natural.
There is a podcast Bro, there's a podcast in the ether where you came on the trade pod and we talked about the Wolves for an hour and it only recorded my end of the audio. And I look at it in like on my desktop and I just like despise it.
Still some groundbreaking stuff there that I need out there.
All right, so how I like to do this is I pick the people I pick for a reason because you guys are fans of these teams. And then, like, I'd like for you to just tell me a little bit about your fandom. So, who's your favorite Wolf of all time?
Kevin Garnett. Pretty straightforward. Honestly, not a ton of great ones to choose from, but he's my favorite NBA player of all time, to be honest. And it's not even close. I think he probably would be even if I wasn't a Timberwolves fan. But growing up a 90s baby, I went to over 200-plus Timberwolves games. I was very fortunate of that. Literally been to every Minnesota Timberwolves Kevin Garnett era playoff game. Literally every game ever besides one series that so I've only missed two playoff games of all time.
All right, so this is two podcasts in a row that people have had KG as their favorite player for their franchise.
Love it.
My boy Matt Esposito from the Playgrounder, El Jefe, had KG as his favorite Celtic of all time. Who's your favorite current Wolf?
My favorite current Wolf? Honestly, I was a really big Malik Beasley fan, I will admit it, until his accident. I mean, that definitely turned me away quite a bit. It's Cat right now. I think D'Lo could take over, though. Talon's got a little bit to go to hang on to that title for me, but it's Cat right now.
All right, and just a couple Wolves memories. You've been to a bunch of playoff games, you said. So just give me your Wolves memories. Like, what helped build your fandom?
To be honest, I mean, calling into Wolves After Dark, I mean, that was some of my first radio experience, just driving home with my dad and a couple of my buddies, and calling in, just talking garbage on there and having a good time. And it's a late-night Minnesota Timberwolves talk show that they like call-ins nonstop, and you hear fans rant, which was a lot of fun. But outside of that, on the court, I mean, I was a huge Flip Saunders guy, just his facial expressions. He was very animated on the sidelines. Still one of my favorite coaches of all time. As for moments, I mean, my favorite game ever was the Sacramento Kings. Western Conference semifinal, the really one amazing year we had. Chris Webber and KG going back and forth, there's nothing like it. Probably my favorite sporting event I've ever been to, and I've sat courtside watched LeBron James in the finals before. Eastern Conference finals. I've been blessed to be able to say I've done that. Seeing Tim Duncan beat us on a buzzer beater, Malik Seeley half-court shots, I mean, those are some of the top ones that come to mind.
I'm not everybody else. I'm not going to let you slide with your little, yo, I saw LeBron in the conference finals courtside flex. Like, that's a flex, and I like that.
Yes, sir. Game 5, 2018, graduated my master's degree out there. It was like the best gift ever. Me and my dad just said, let's do it. Got to sit courtside, watch LeBron battle the Celtics. Jason Tatum blossoming in that game, and it was unreal. One of my favorite sporting experiences I've ever been a part of, and it's going to be really tough to beat.
All right, so for your offseason, you guys brought back Malik Beasley and Hernan Gomez, Juancho.
There you go. Yep.
Let's touch on Malik's legal trouble.
How much you want to get into it? do it. I mean, I think he's going to be playing game one, if that's what you're asking. But it could come back up. He could definitely miss time having to fly back to be in the courtrooms. I mean, there's a lot of ongoing stuff. I mean, it's definitely not anywhere close to being done.
And this is a guy that you're admittedly super high on, as am I. I wasn't sure the Wolves were going to bring him back once they secured the number one pick. I'm happy they did. This obviously leaves a sour taste in everybody's mouth. But from a basketball standpoint, are you cool on the contract? Like the years, the money?
To be honest, I thought he should have got paid this last year in Denver. I've been high on Malik Beasley ever since Florida State. He was arguably, if I go back and look, he was definitely in the lottery for me, which I think he went in the 20s, I believe. But I was definitely higher on him than the majority. Thought he deserved way more time in Denver. Thought he could have been better than Gary Harris. Still think he can be if his head's on right and he gets his opportunity like you think he's going to get in Minnesota. I think Anthony Edwards is going to detract from that a little bit and take away from that. But market value seemed to be 3-4 years, $44 million, the reported numbers being thrown around. So I would have liked to see him a little closer to 10 to 12. Thought we could have got him on a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal with bigger money because of the legal trouble he's had. Thought we'd get a little break and advantage because of that, but we didn't. This is definitely the top of the top for what he was going to get, and we gave it to him, which it's whatever. I mean, he's with a big agency. We kind of got to make them happy. That's a part of it too, so for future players. I hate that aspect that you got to do things for players that aren't at the forefront right now that are kind of indirect and not relevant, but it's the way things work, and it's the way the game is today. But it's not a terrible contract by any means. It could turn out to be terrible. I definitely think so, but I don't think it's a very high percentage it's going to be bad. I think it's more good than bad. I kind of look at it as like an Evan Fournier deal, and that's worked out decently for Orlando.
There's been times where Evan Fournier is the Magic's best wing player, and it's by
best
like,
player.
And it's not in even general. Close.
Yeah.
What about Wancho's contract?
That's fair. Again, I would have liked him for just a year or two. That third year kind of drives me nuts. I think he's a player we want and need. I just hate the fact that he's starting on our team. I don't think with our roster formation, I think that team building wise, we did an god awful job this year creating a coherent team. We've done decent on the player and the talent side of it, but creating an actual functioning basketball team that you expect to be good in today's NBA, it's really questionable. And jury's out. Wancho was a big part of that because he can shoot, but he doesn't do other things that we need our four to do, being next to Karl Anthony Towns. But the overall contract's fine. Seven for 3 years, $21 million. Overall, think he's going to be a fine player, but it's just not what we need and what I would have liked. I would have rather got rid of him and tried to bring in another four, give all of our money to Jeremy Grant. I think we could have figured out something there, or even Christian Wood gotten those sweepstakes somehow.
I hadn't thought about this until just now, but Jeremy Grant would have been a really nice fit in Minnesota.
Oh, he's been a pipe dream. I mean, we'd be for sure playoff team in my estimation, and I think he would have done the world for us. What Denver's going to miss in him, what Detroit is kind of going to gain from him. He's not going to do a ton for him. He would have done the world for us.
He's a guy that's better. The better the team, the better he is.
You got it.
In Detroit, I think he has big machinations on what his role is, and I'm not sure that what he wants to do is going to be conducive to winning basketball.
Correct, yeah.
He could have had a... a larger role in Minnesota, but still impacted winning so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a ceiling raiser, not a floor raiser. And that's basically what you're saying, and I completely agree. Of course, he's going to make them a little better, but not much. He's going to look good on paper. His stats are going to be good, and I think definitely going to bring drive and a winning culture there, develop some good habits in Detroit. But in Minnesota, he would have elevated us a lot of wins.
Man, that is one that... like, that is a good thought, and I'm sad that Wolves fans missed out on that.
Devastating, man.
So some of the
went to Detroit, he would have definitely considered us, and it's basically his whole reason. He had the same offer from Denver. He would basically it came down to he wanted a real role. He thinks he's got a lot more to go, and I respect the hell out of that.
No, but like that's, I think that's the part that hurts. The if he'd considered Detroit, he would have considered us.
Damn right, yeah.
So you guys added three rookies, unless I'm missing something. You added Ashton Hagans, Anthony Edwards with the number one pick, and Jaden McDaniels, who a lot of people liked. Like, there was a lot of buzz coming into on him coming into the season. He maybe didn't set the world on fire, but there's still a lot of potential and room for growth.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people. I wasn't as high on him. He wasn't, like, in my lottery by any means, but he was top 25 for me, and I think he could definitely – he's got such an extremely high ceiling and extremely low floor in my estimation. I mean, I think he could finish in the top seven of this draft class when it's all said and done, but I think he could also fall, be a second-round guy if we don't give him his opportunity, and I don't think he's going to get it year one, which I would like because we have – the minutes and the team structure where I feel like we need to do that, but we're not going to, and it's not going to be good for his growth. So I'm a little on the fence about him, but I was happy about that pick. We also got Leandro Balmero. We shipped him staying overseas. He's basically Ricky Rubio, but a lot worse. When, at that age, Kmart version of what Ricky Rubio, whatever you want to call it, which was another god-awful pick there. And the big thing about that is I wanted to draft at 19. I wanted that pick so bad because there were so many good players left that dropped and that were available and we could add steals. I would have been in heaven if we got Sadiq Bey. He'd have been the perfect guy. Just absolutely dreaming. Sorry, 17, not 19. But there's other avenues to getting Ricky Rubio. And we just made a lot of bad decisions after that first pick. And I love the first pick in Anthony Edwards. It's fine. It's no big deal to me. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just fine. That would have been okay four different ways, but my guy would have been Killian Hayes if I was making the pick.
I'm very high on Killian Hayes, and this is the third time now, so now I got to ask. Do you want to announce something on the pod? Do you have some sort of formal beef with Detroit?
I'm coming out of the closet in Detroit.
Well, I mean, you said, first of all, you said that they took Jeremy Grant. Then you said, I really wanted Sadiq Bey. Detroit took him. And this Detroit got Killian Hayes. So I just want to know, do you want to let the Pistons know that, like, it's on site with them?
Yeah, no, I have. I just had a big Pistons pod last week with two of their main guys, Rod Beard and James Edwards, and I my affinity is out there. I think they have three starters for the long term, and Sadiq, Killian, and Jeremy Grant. But, yeah, I mean, that Isaiah Stewart pick at 16, that was horrible.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you let them know that they have a bunch of players that you were very high on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Killian Hayes would have been the pick for you.
Yes. Yep. I say that because I think his defensive upside's a lot higher. I think he can play off ball really well. I just would have loved to see two lefties back-to-back and D'Lo and Killian, it seems so aesthetically pleasing to me. but he just seems like a guy that come in and create winning habits for us, and think he'd be perfect in our system versus Anthony Edwards. I think with Malik Beasley, with D'Lo, I needed more defense. That was the big thing. Needed more defense. I think Anthony Edwards can get there. Should be a decent fit, but I see it way more when I watch the tape on Killian. We need more smart basketball players in Minnesota, and Killian seems as smart as they get.
Do some of the reports coming out about Edwards before the draft give you pause?
Absolutely, yeah. They were a big deal to me, and I knew about those red flags long in advance. Those just put the cherry on the top. But at the end of the day, do I think he can still get to 70-80% of his potential that I see in him, even if he's got a bad work ethic? Probably, yeah. I think he's that good physically, and he's going to get the opportunity in Minnesota, so we should be able to see what he's about. Ricky Rubio should be able to help with that. D'Lo, I think he's a professional and works his butt off. But I just think Anthony Edwards is just a guy that plays the game because he can. He's about life outside of this, and I'm a guy that loves people that lives and breathes the game. That's another reason why I wanted Killian, because this is his life. I mean, gave up everything to play overseas professionally at a young age, and his dad's an ex-player, and so that definitely helps and develops more fire and more of a passion. Where Anthony Edwards, I mean, he's a football player too. I mean, this isn't his life at the end of the day. Even though I get it, these guys are more than athletes. We're more than podcasters. But I buy into everything that's been out there about Anthony Edwards.
How do you put this? When you're putting millions of dollars into somebody, you'd want them to like what they're doing, and
correct.
You'd want them ideally to love it. And Anthony Edwards seems like some of those quotes made it seem like he plays basketball because he's good at it, not because he actually cares for the game.
Correct. And a lot of these guys, I understand they're extremely young and naive, and they're going to have slip ups here and there, but if they're not in love, you can tell when somebody's in love with something or passionate, and there's so many of those players out there. Klay Thompson, man, he lives the greatest life outside of basketball, but it's everything to him. It really is. And it just breaks your heart to know that Klay Thompson's not going to be around and keep grinding this thing out. But yeah, Anthony Edwards, I hope he develops that when he realizes what he can do and what being as great as he can do for his life and his career.
I think success is going to matter a lot to him. Like, if he's successful and he's getting recognition and attention and accolades, I think that is something that could push him towards being a harder worker, falling more in love with it. But if it's like the slow grind, it might be difficult for him.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Do you have a player that you think might pop this year? Like one of your young guys that like, oh, he takes a big step forward.
I can pick out somebody like that for every single team in the league, honestly, man. And I just, for us, if you tell me the most guy that takes the biggest jump, I mean, it's a cop out, but I think, I mean, Anthony Edwards really, because he's going from zero compared to everything else. If you really, you have to think about it hard, what his leap would be in comparison to like Cat or Malik or anything like that. I'm hoping Malik can even be who he was last year, because it's going to be hard to replicate what he was for the 15 games or 20 games or whatnot that he was for us. My pick would be Jared Culver, if anyone. I just don't know if he's going to get the ample time either. Because he's a guy, he's a guy that needs 30 minutes, 25 minutes in order to just make a bunch of mistakes and to get there. And I don't think we're going to – there's some people that are saying that we're not even going to play him, really. And it drives me absolutely nuts. If we're not going to play him, if there's any speculation, if any thought of that, ship his ass out, trade him immediately, because I think there's still a lot of value there. He got better as the year went. I know this kid's a really hard worker, and he's a good, positive defender in the NBA regardless of where he goes. That means something. Versatile as well.
All right, so you mentioned that there's thoughts that you guys might not be playing Culver a lot. That leads me to, what are the expectations for this year? Is this play the young guys and build for the future still, or is it, hey, the clock is ticking on Cat, we want to be competitive? Like, what are realistic expectations? What's a good season for the Wolves this year?
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. I think it's so mixed and within the organization itself that they go back and forth. I pray that they know that time is ticking with Cat, and therefore it will with D'Lo if it's ticking with Cat. We got to win now. We got to do everything we can, and there wasn't enough of those win now moves for me. Rubio is cute and all, and it's okay. They're definitely not acting like it's a win now by any means. Maybe the deals weren't out there, but I'd be hard-pressed to say that from what I'm reading that there weren't a couple that I thought would have been worth taking and what have you. But expectations got to be to win more games in the last couple of years, just to improve and see development. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If we don't finish in the top 12 in the West, it's a failure in my estimation. If we're not in the playoff hunt, literally the entire year, and I'm saying within five games all year, then that's a failure in my estimation. And I think it's going to be a jam-packed West. So five games seems very reasonable. If Cat and D'Lo are as good as they say they are and we think they are, then, yeah, we should be right in that hunt for the eighth seed, in my estimation. I truly believe that. I'm not fully bought in on Ryan Saunders, never have been. Was okay with the hire originally, but I need to see development. I need to see defense. He's a clubhouse hire. He really was. So, it's a lot of question marks for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
All right, so 19-45 last year. I'm going to expect you to take the way over on that this year, correct?
Yes.
And who are your projected starters? Give me who you would like to see start and who you think Saunders will actually call out.
Yeah, so I'd like to see Ricky, D'Angelo, Anthony Edwards. Depending on the team, I'd like to see Culver or Okogie, but it's going to be Juan, which I'm okay with. Juan Hernan Gomez and Cat. I'd like to see a lot of change at that four spot coming in and out. I'd also like to see Ricky coming off the bench a little bit, but the three guys that should be starting every game is D'Angelo, Anthony Edwards, and Karl Anthony Towns.
So you think Edwards comes in as the starter off the bat?
He better. I mean, we're doing things wrong if he's not. I mean, Malik Beasley needs to be our sixth man right now. I'd be okay with Ricky coming off the bench and having D'Lo be the one, and then Malik starting. I'd love that lineup personally. Have Ricky be the sixth man, but I'm good either way as long as those three guys are for sure in the starting lineup.
All right, that's. I think we covered everything. Did you want to wish Evan Turner happy trails as a new Celtics assistant coach?
No, I do wish him the best. Thought he should still be in the league. I mean, good enough. Celtics bench is weak. He could probably still play for him, but he had a very underrated career by my estimation. I thought he was better than people made him out to be. Did I think he was going to be better than he was coming in? Yes, but I thought he had a fine 10-year career, and I think he's got a great role and fit in Boston there.
And some of that just comes with the expectations of he was the number two overall pick, National Player of the Year at Ohio State. Like, that kind of pedigree just comes with buzz and high expectations.
Absolutely. And anybody, I mean, that can be a good role player, starter, and play that many years, I mean, that's solid in my estimation.
I completely agree. Zach, where can they find you on the interwebs?
Twitter is ZAKNOBLE. Catch my two shows, Noble and Roosh Show, and then Four Seasons, Four SENS on Ball is Life. Appreciate you having me again, my man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast, Timberwolves Edition. I'm your host, Rob Shaw, a.k.a. The Pod God. We had a special guest in Zach Noble on. He came to talk his shit about his boys in Minnesota, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate that. Please leave a like, a review on iTunes, and if you do, I promise I will read that bitch on air. This has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. Thank you for your time.